A lot of the gospel passages are written about Jesus' inner circle, particularly the 12. But here we have 72, and in some texts it's 70, which is a way of saying it's not just a select few, but it's everybody. The whole church evangelizes, takes this good news, this gospel message to the world. In the book of Genesis, there's one passage where there are 70 people on the earth. That's in other words, it's the whole human race. And what Luke's gospel is intending to say here is the whole human race is called to the kingdom, and the kingdom is at hand for the whole human race, and we are messengers of that good news. And so he sends them out ahead of him. Now, it was typical for significant people in those days to send emissaries on ahead of them to prepare a suitable welcome for them when they came into town. Jesus is kind of doing that, not out of a sense of pride, but out of a sense of preparedness. Prepared to recognize the Savior, to recognize God in their midst. So in every generation, we go out, we're the church, and we go out and we prepare the way. We set the seedbed so that when Christ comes into the hearts of those people, they will be prepared to greet him. But in another sense, it works the other way around, because Christ always precedes us. God is always active in every human heart. God is active in the world everywhere. And so we're not really preaching to a blank slate. We're meeting open hearts that have already been prepared by the Holy Spirit so that when they hear that message, it resonates. I've taught everything from grade school to graduate school. And let me tell you, adults are the fun ones, because all the other people, even college students, they just don't have enough lived experience, so it's just memorization, you know. Is this going to be on the test? Because if it's not on the test, I'm not going to bother memorizing it. But adults have lived, and so you're actually speaking to their experience and the look on their faces of recognition and joy of having something spoken to that was in their hearts even though they maybe didn't even realize it. And this is the way adult education often works. Adults learn best by participating. So, you know, you get some input, but then you want to share that, your own experience, and you want to hear the experience of the other people in the group sharing. So one of the things we do often in education, adult education, is we gather people in a room and we watch a video, you know, some professional who can explain this gospel text to us, for example, and then a facilitator helps us share our own experience, and there's this enlivening, the thrill of being able to say what's in my experience, in my heart, and hearing from you what's in your heart. It's education at the best. It's almost not education, it's joy. And so this is what we're doing when we are sent out at the end of Mass to be evangelizers, to bring the gospel message, the good news to the world. And so we don't go out getting preachy about it. We go out and live life with them. This is what God did in Jesus. He comes into our own human experience and shares our life with us. And we begin to recognize God in our midst by looking at him. And it's the same way with us. We go out and we live like other people. We share their experience. But there's some message that's in our lives by the way we act, by some of the things we say, that resonates in their hearts. Jesus tells them several things. First thing is, don't be concerned if people reject you. Go out and say peace to this house. Okay? What does Jesus do on the day of resurrection in the upper room? He says, peace be with you. He's telling us to give the same message that he gave to the 12 in the upper room to every house. And if that peace is already there, if the Spirit has already implanted some kind of openness in them, then the peace will be given back to you. And if not, don't worry about it. Shake the dust from your feet and move on. Don't worry about failure. Don't get obsessed about that. Just keep moving. And again, this is Jesus. Jesus gets rejected sometimes, and he just keeps moving. He goes to another town. And we should be the same way. Next thing he tells him is, you're like sheep among wolves, and you're going to get rejected, you're going to get spat upon, maybe ridiculed, but don't let that concern you too much. He says, I saw Satan falling like lightning from the sky. And then that's followed by, you will be able to tread on scorpions and serpents and nothing will harm you. So what is all this about? Satan is a fallen angel. And so cosmologically, biblically, heaven is up there. And that's where God dwells. And that's where the angels dwell. The bad angels too. And so Satan, his authority, he's trying to usurp the authority and the influence of God. And when you confront that evil by stomping on it, by treading on it, then his influence falls. His authority is like lightning falling from the sky. You know, humans, normally you don't step on scorpions or snakes. You walk around them. I mean, who would walk right toward them when you could walk around? But we're talking about a biblical metaphor here. If scorpions and serpents symbolize the forces of evil in the world, then we, because of the courage of our faith, we don't run around it. We confront it head on, and we walk right through it. And its power and its influence over us wanes. It falls from the sky. And then Jesus says, don't be so impressed with yourself because the forces of evil are subject to you. Rather, feel good and feel joyful because your names are written in heaven. In other words, you have become Christ. You have been drawn up into the divine life. You have become sharers in the salvific mission of Christ himself. And that's your joy. And how does that get lived out? Well, St. Paul gives us a clue. He says, I bear the imprint of Christ's crucifixion on my body. I bear his wounds. Let me never boast of anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which I participate. So it's about dying. It's about willingness to share my life, willingness to share my story, willingness to be among the world and sanctify it ever so slightly. And most of our lives, we're not going to feel like we've gotten anywhere. There aren't going to be that many stories where people come back and thank us and, you know, are so appreciative. I mean, that happens too. But for the most part, it's about just the willingness to serve, the willingness to put our lives out there vulnerably, like lambs among wolves, like people who really trust in something more than what we see. And isn't that us, after all? We are the people who trust in something more than what we see, even though the evidence is often telling us a different message. that there's just too much evil in the world, and there's too much failure, and there's too much grief and sorrow and death, and we're surrounded by horrific things. But we Christians are the ones who can look deeper and see the resurrection beyond those things. And that faith, that hope in which we live, that's the message we bring. That's the message that maybe won't be spoken in words, but it'll be the testimony of our lives.